This is Opus 35, Number 11, In Wump, Buried. Written by Ivic and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and DC crossover fic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Bucky Barnes / Clint Barton / Jason Todd. This is part one of Opus 35, Number 11, In Wump, Buried. Summary. The building collapses with Jason in it. He does not tolerate it well. The sound had been overwhelming. There had been several explosions that he'd felt every bit as much as he'd heard them, reverberating in his chest and knocking the air out of his lungs. There had been a groaning noise. He wasn't sure if it was him, the building, or some unholy combination. And then utter cacophony as the building collapsed around him. He'd been paralyzed, completely unable to move as he realized what was happening. Something had slammed into him, knocking him into a wall, then down to the ground. And somehow, he hadn't died. The building had finally stilled and quieted. Rubble had formed around him in a tiny pocket, creating his own tiny tomb to die in. He was doing it backwards, he thought, and fought back the insane urge to giggle. If he started, there was no way he would be able to stop. Last time he'd died and then gotten buried. This time he'd been buried first. He didn't like it. Didn't like it one bit. He couldn't breathe. There was no air. He couldn't get out if he couldn't breathe, and he couldn't breathe if he didn't get out. The only noise he could make out was the desperate, terrified keening stuttering out of him. His shoulders were heaving, and he couldn't breathe. And oh God, it was happening again. His head was swimming with the lack of air, or from panic, it didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was getting out. He was curled over his knees, face down on the ground, hands clutching at the back of his neck, like some fucked up version of a yoga's child's pose. And he'd been a kid the last time this had happened, so that meant he should be able to handle it now, right? He couldn't. He needed out. He needed out. He needed out. He repositioned his hands under his shoulders and shoved himself upward. There was a tiny shift and adrenaline shot through his system as he tried to break through the ceiling forming his crypt again. His back throbbed with pain, but nothing else budged. Stop it! Words finally penetrated the ringing in his ears. They had the desperate quality of someone who'd been shouting for a while, not that Jason was able to register that level of detail. Hands were pawing at him, trying to force him to still, but he couldn't. He had to get out. He was trapped. He couldn't do this. He couldn't. He needed out now. Jason, stop before you kill us both. Out, out, out. I need out, he howled as the person crawled on top of him, pinning him to the ground. I know, Jason. And now that he was focused on it, he recognized Clint's voice. But we have to sit tight or the rest of the building is going to come down on us. That slab is only so strong. Jason tried to look around, not that there was anything to see. It was pitch black. There wasn't even enough light for his night vision to function. They'll come get us, Jay, I promise. We won't be here long. I can't, he moaned. He quit trying to shove up through the debris stacked over them. With Clint weighing him down, he couldn't manage the leverage. Instead, he reached out with both hands to feel how much space they had. It was not a lot. Something long and flat was slanted above them, a chunk of floor or wall, maybe. It seemed to have shunted debris to the side, allowing this pocket to form. Jason was trying very hard not to think of it as a grave. The area in front of him was full of smaller, loose chunks. A few pebbles skittered across their tiny space, disturbed by his searching fingers. Fresh panic gripped him. Clint shifted off as he curled back in on himself, helmet braced against his forearms while he keened, rocking back and forth on his knees. "It's okay. It's okay. You're gonna be okay. They're coming for us. Bucky is coming for us." Clint kept up the litany, but Jason was choking on memories. The feel of dirt pressed all around him, the taste of it in his mouth. He jerked his helmet off as fast as he could, then knelt there gasping for air, struggling not to vomit. He just barely managed to swallow it back. "Let me out," he begged, starting to shift restlessly again. He needed to move. He couldn't stay there. He couldn't. He couldn't. Clint hauled him into an awkward, side-lying hug, their legs too long for the space and tangled together. "I need out," he choked against Clint's chest, tears leaking into the rough fabric covering it. "I need out." "They're coming for us, Jay, I promise." Clint kept murmuring promises into his hair, squeezing him tight, and Jason just kept begging, the same three words over and over again, until his throat was too dry to produce the words anymore. He didn't know if the tiny tremors were from his own body or from the building shifting again, threatening to finish the job. He cowered into Clint. Clint's hold was the only thing keeping him from clawing at the debris again. To hell if the building came down the rest of the way. Anything was better than being trapped waiting to die. Time got weird, each moment stretching into a weird, awful eternity as he continued to cling to Clint, praying for it to end quicker. The blackness continued to stretch out, unabated, his own agonizing hell, unceasing and unforgiving. The end. Opus 35, number 11, in Wump, movement 2, Buried. Written by Ivic and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and DC crossover fic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Bucky Barnes / Clint Barton / Jason Todd. This is part 2 of Opus 35, number 11, in Wump, Buried. Summary. Jason is struggling with some PTSD. It had been 6 months since the Buried Alive incident, the one that had fucked Jason up real good, the ultimate reason he'd finally given in and found a therapist, an online one who had no ties to or associations with Gotham or Hydra or S.H.I.E.L.D. as far as their best could tell. And between Natasha, Barbara, and Jarvis, their best was pretty damn good. They'd initially started meeting twice weekly, and his therapist had slowly cut him down to once every other week, so he felt like he was doing better. He hadn't told her exactly who he was or what his job entailed. He'd skirted around things and figured she probably thought he was in law enforcement, as fucking if, or a firefighter, or something along those lines. She did know that something had happened on the job involving a cave-in, and he was struggling to return to parts of it, namely interior ones. He did just fine nabbing criminals trying to make a grand escape, or dealing with muggers in alleyways, but he'd been slow to get back to doing anything inside a building. Hell, some days he still had a hard time sleeping inside the apartment Bucky had found and moved them to, with its specially reinforced and alarmed skylight above their bed. He'd loved his old apartment, and they'd kept it for a safe house, but that wasn't the same as calling it home. But he couldn't force them to stay and deal with the neurotic way he slept on the roof 5 out of 7 nights a week. Clint, in particular, had hated the new sleeping arrangements. Bucky and Clint had kept watch in shifts while the other cuddled around Jason. Even though he'd never once complained to Jason, or elected to sleep inside when it was his turn to rest. It was sweet, and Jason wasn't going to repay him by making him suffer through it any longer than necessary. So, he was trying. And he was getting better. Slowly. He knew it was stupid. He had no issues going into a variety of buildings during non-work hours, As long as he didn't have his helmet on, his brain stayed in the present, instead of catapulting him back to those miserable 5 hours he and Clint had been huddled together in that air pocket. Tonight had been his first time trying to get back on the horse, so to speak. The club that needed to be infiltrated was named Black Beauty, ironically enough, and it was in a regular brick brownstone, not a dilapidated warehouse down by the docks. It was an important distinction he kept reminding himself of. So, he'd pulled his big boy panties on. Metaphorically, he was never putting those green scaly ones of his childhood back on, and gone through with the undercover operation with Clint on his arm. It had even been fun at the start. He hadn't worn his vigilante costume, and Clint had been looking hot to trot. Bucky had picked his outfit. Clint's fashion choices were questionable at the best of times, and at the start, he could almost pretend they were on a date. Then the dealer they were trying to sniff out, the one who'd been cutting his wares with rat poison, had taken exception to something Clint said, and all hell had broken loose. Jason had managed himself admirably throughout the honest-to-God brawl that the fight devolved into, but at the very end, someone had taken a crowbar to his left knee. He hadn't freaked out right away, had managed to package it up, stave off the panic attack, but he could feel himself slipping. As soon as the fight had wrapped up, which, thank fuck, had been quick, the bats had been on standby, he took himself outside for some fresh air. He'd had to lean on Dick to manage the walk with how fucked up his knee was, but Dick had taken one look at his face and led the way with zero questions asked. "Smoking is bad for your health," Bruce intoned, and Jason barely restrained himself from saying something shitty. "So is my entire job," felt heavy on the tip of his tongue. "I know. You need to report to the Batcave for your knee." His mind went blank. No, absolutely not. There was no way he could. He was still scrambling for an answer that would get him out of it without exposing his continued weakness when Bucky came to join their impromptu tete-a-tete. He shifted away from Dick, who had been continuing to offer support so that Jason didn't have to lean against the brick wall, and wobbled towards his boyfriend. Bucky put on a burst of speed, so Jason was wrapped in his arms within 3 steps. "I'm ready to go," he whispered into Bucky's Kevlar vest, relying on his enhanced hearing so that his father and brother wouldn't hear him beg, wouldn't see how weak he still was. "I want to go home. We have a brace at home, and ice." And thank God Bucky had heard enough to understand the situation playing out. He really should have x-rays, was as far as Bruce got before Bucky cut him off. And Jason reveled in how he had the best boyfriends. Too many people would let Batman run roughshod over what they wanted, buy into the grave and authoritative manner he laid things out in, and then let him do whatever he thought best, regardless of what it cost anyone else. If it's muscular, an x-ray isn't the appropriate diagnostic tool. If he doesn't improve and he needs to be seen, I'll take him to Dr. Tompkins. "See that you do," Batman said, mouth in a flat, disapproving line, for all that he tried to act like Bucky was agreeing to his own plan. "Come on, doll." Bucky guided him towards where the bikes were parked. "At least ride in the Batmobile," Bruce called after them. Jason caught Bucky's eye and shook his head no, the movement tiny but vehement. "Oh, hey, are we headed home?" Clint asked, popping up from God knew where. "I need to change." His shirt was in tatters, more whole than cloth. "How do you always fuck up your shirt so bad?" Jason asked with a laugh. "I don't know, but you are welcome," Clint responded, sunshine grin firmly in place. They huddled together for a moment, Jason really just soaking in the silent support they offered while the other two conferred. Clint had ridden there on the back of Jason's bike, which was parked right outside the club they'd been in, whereas Bucky had been staked out close by, but had left his bike several blocks away. Ultimately, they decided Jason would ride Pillion behind Clint while Bucky fetched his own. Clint peeled out, as showy as ever, the roar of the engines drowning out Bruce's shout about a helmet, which was probably why he had done it. They got home and realized the flaw in their planning. Jason was not going to be able to manage 20 flights of stairs on his own. Clint looked pained for him as he looked back and forth between the stairs and elevator. "I don't think I'm going to be able to prop you up that many stairs without fucking up your knee even more," he finally said, apology written in every line of his body. "Bucky shouldn't be too long. We can just sit and wait," he offered after a moment. No, that's fucking stupid. I can manage an elevator. It's not like I've never been in one before. Sure, sure, Clint agreed, head bobbing as he avoided Jason's gaze. But, can't help but notice you've never been in this one, and, we've lived here almost 4 months. Jason's mouth twisted. Clint wasn't wrong. He had been avoiding all enclosed spaces since they'd been trapped, but his leg was throbbing and he just wanted to be home and stretched out on their bed. And it's done great things for your thighs, don't get me wrong. I appreciate every stair you mount, Clint added. You and Bucky are going to give me a complex. It's fine. I'm fine, Jason insisted, ignoring the flirting, confident he could stubborn his way through the 2 or 3 minutes the journey should take. You really don't have to, Clint trailed off as he pulled away to hop toward the silver doors, hand running over the wall for stability. Jason gritted his teeth as he jabbed the call button angrily and focused on keeping his breathing even. Clint heaved a sigh that Jason patently ignored and pulled Jason's arm back over his shoulder. Jason's muscles tightened as they crossed the threshold, and he was led to the back corner, where he could use the handrails to support his weight. Clint hit the button for their penthouse apartment, and the doors slid shut. Jason watched them slide shut, dread expanding with every inch the gap narrowed. He did not want to be in there. The doors finally touched, fully seated together, and the elevator began its journey upward, and Jason's vision began to tunnel, mimicking the doors closing, and the elevator started to darken as his panic peaked. You okay? Clint asked, but Jason couldn't hear him. Static filled his ears. His hands clenched involuntarily around the handrail. The thin edges dug deep into his palms, but he didn't feel it. His whole body was going numb, shutting down. He was dying. He was dying again. He couldn't breathe, and he was going to die stuck in a tiny box. He needed out. He needed out. He needed out. Jason. He could see Clint's mouth moving, directly in front of him. He stared, still unhearing, short, explosive pants erupting through his nose. His jaw was clenched tight against nausea. Jason, breathe. Jason still didn't respond, and Clint turned to hit a button. He herded Jason out of the elevator moments later, and Jason collapsed on the stairs, his bad knee stretched out in front of him while he buried his face in the other one. Tears were leaking down his face, seeping into the denim, but he was finally managing deeper breaths and the tunnel vision and dizziness receded. I'm sorry, he gasped out when he had calmed down enough to get the word out, ashamed and embarrassed and still unable to stop shaking. Don't be. I get it. It's not a big deal. It is. Jason tried to snap back, but his voice was still too soggy to be effective. How come I can't get over this? There's no timeline on recovery, Clint said, which just irritated Jason further. How did you get over it so quickly? I don't... So what if you have nightmares sometimes? At least you can function, ride in a goddamn elevator. Jason realized he was getting loud and that it was pretty late. He forced himself to lower his voice. Why can't I? Well, probably because I wasn't claustrophobic before that happened, and it's not a competition, Jason. We've all got our triggers. Jason didn't answer, so Clint wrapped himself around him and allowed the conversation to end. Jason buried himself deeper into Clint's arms and tried to ignore the fact that they were sitting next to apartment 503. He hadn't even made it 5 floors. It wasn't long before Bucky arrived. He and Clint each slung an arm around their shoulders, which lasted all of 1 floor before Bucky scooped Jason into a bridal carry. I'll just meet you up there then, Clint asked, and abandoned them for the elevator. The end.